I want you to repeat after me. Holy Spirit, I want you on the job. I have eyes that see. I have ears that hear. And my heart does perceive that this word is for me. Hallelujah. Amen. I was pressed to go to Malachi because it speaks of the last day. And we've got roughly 6,000 years of history. And the Jewish nation is really God's time clock. So we know that God is on the job and it's climbing closer and closer. What I do find difficult is a lot of ministries out there are actually preaching from a word of fear instead of a word of confidence and a word of assurance. So obviously, what I'm saying to you is this. When you take the word of the Lord, it is unbiased. It's not prejudice. It's designed to get us to the victory. And in chapter 4, which is where we're going to be stepping into, I know that there's a previous area in chapter 2, in verse 17, it says a day of judgment. And you know, the Lord is really saying loud and clear, you have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or, where is the God of justice? Well, if we look at the Lord from a fear base, we end up thinking that way. Where is the Lord of justice? Well, he's on the job. And so if you fast forward, if you check out chapter 3, you're going to learn that it's all about money. And so it shows you the heart of the person. I don't want to go there because we made a commitment when we started this house of prayer that we would never pass the basket. And we haven't. We've never taken an offering except for special guests or special needs, such as a flood situation or fires or whatever, which is usually maybe once or twice a year if we're lucky. Other than that, we just let the Holy Spirit show the people whatever he needs to do, whenever they need to do it. That way there, you're not going to feel pressured, because if you remember, when Jesus showed the disciples who gave the most money, it was a lady who had 2 copper coins, which weren't worth much. But she was giving above what the others had in abundance. So that gave me a word, because I remember years back feeling embarrassed because my pockets were empty. And the basket is going by and everybody's looking to see what you're going to drop in. And I said to the Lord, if ever you have me in charge of something, there will not be a crisis. There will only be a dependence on you. And I can tell you, there was a little bit of a challenge a few months ago when everything was falling apart and the doors were closing. How are we going to be able to continue? But my sister, who's the treasurer, will tell you that we debated, the elders looked at, should never happen, because God brought in what we needed and we're still here. And that's what counts. So again, enough about money, because that's not a pressure tactic that I want to go into, because I don't like it. It's not for me to pressure others. That's who I am, and that's how this house has run. But chapter 4 says, well, I'm going to back it up a little bit before 4, because I have a sense that there needs to be a wee bit of background In chapter 3, in verse 13, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Well, there are times that you're going to have an issue with God's plan. And your mouth may go into places where you wish it never went. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Well, doesn't that describe something that we see going on right now? Anybody agree that's what you see? You see darkness getting blessed. You see people that are doing bad things getting all the benefits, and you and I feel somewhat like slaves. Verse 16, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. So he hears, correct? A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. So there's a recording in heaven of what you and I say. Whether it's godly or ungodly, it's recorded. Well, if the God of justice records my words of complaints all the time, what is he going to do? He's going to let me have a hard time so I can get out of it and change. 17. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. So in other words, he's looking at the Jews. He's looking at the Israelites. And he's saying, they have failed over and over, but my compassion is superior. That's an example for you and me. There may be people in our lives that are not quite what we'd like. How many have got a few of those? Well, you ask the Lord for compassion. Verse 18, and you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Well, there are some that serve God, and you can sense it, you can believe it, you can feel it. But those who don't are quite visible right now, and they're very miserable. Chapter 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. Not too much escape mechanism there. And that day that is coming will set them on fire. Who sees setting on fire? The ungodly, the arrogant, those that have got attitude towards God. And I'm not judging, but I've heard some things in the past few months that I almost don't want to turn on the television. Because the arrogance, the pride, the insults against believers, I mean, it's just very, very ugly. Again, all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. Isn't that cool? But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, who is he?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. Will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was brought up on a farm when I was young. And I couldn't wait for spring. There would be maybe six 6 inches of loose snow on the ground, and Dad and I would let out the animals, and I mean, it was just a sight to see. Their tails would be flying, and I can still remember it. Because you don't know what a young horse will do every time he plays in the snow for the first time. There's no joy that you can describe the animal kingdom being set free. Well, now, how about us being set free from all the darkness that has tried to destroy us? And that's what's going to happen down the road. Leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. Oh, who's going to trample them down? You. As an army of believers. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. So the church will come and it will rise from where it's been sleeping. Or been blinded, if you wish. I don't care what term you use. God is awakening the church. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. Well, if you were with us a little earlier, you'd remember that we were talking about when you decide that you'd like healing in your family, giving thanks is the recipe. Giving thanks for the way they are rather than what you see or what you've experienced. The spirit of Elijah is available to all of us. And it's available to put the darkness out of business. And that's what I'm looking for the house of prayer and all those who listen. You see, the goal is to mature. The goal is to grow up and to become men and women that are not shaken by the circumstances, that are not upset because things are falling apart all around us, but to really recognize that God has a plan in the midst of it. And his plan is not only salvation, it's resurrection. He wants us to come out of death, he wants us to come out of hopelessness, and he really is interested in each of us becoming everything we've been called to be. And when we are called, not only are we going to be accomplishing what he wants, but the whole of this generation is going to be changed. I was reading this afternoon on Paul Keith Davis's book, Thrones of the Soul. And there was a season in his life that was extremely difficult. And I've shared that with you before. It was so bad that he just figured out, oh my God, God's given up on me. And the pain is so bad, the problems are so awful. There's no end to this. So he decided to call Bob Jones, which was a prophet that he was very friendly with. And Bob Jones told him that, well, he says, the tares are showing up, so the angels are coming to get rid of them because you can see them now. In other words, when you can see yourself and you can see the things that are bothering you, trying to get you discouraged, when you run to the Lord and you ask for grace and help, he's going to come. He's going to send his angels. They're ministering spirits. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. They are sent to release fire. And that fire will burn the old, and you'll be set free. Now, do you like the journey? Not really. Sometimes it's going to be a wee bit tough. But I guarantee you the end results, you'll never be disappointed. Because again, when I shared with you earlier, my dad and I became very, very close during the end of his journey. The doctors had told him a year and 6 months before that he wouldn't live. Not the night. He's not going to make the night. And I looked at the doctor and I said, "You're not God." He didn't like that, and he kind of slammed the door and got rid of me. So my dad did go through the night. The next morning, well, I should back that up a little bit. He had had two surgeries, major. He had had 85% of his stomach removed. And then he had three separate bouts of pneumonia. So his lungs were just totally, totally damaged. And the doctor had said, "He's not going to make the night. This is the third time we've given him everything we can." I said, "Well, thank you, but, you know, again, you're not God." And so I went into the area. He was in ICU. And I anointed him with oil. And I began to pray in the spirit. And I laid my hand, again, laying hands, laid my hand on his spirit. And I prayed in the spirit until my father kind of looked at me and he said, "I'm going to be okay." And I said, "Okay." And I continued to pray, and he fell asleep. Of course, there was a lot of medication, etc. Now, I wanted to stay because of the words of the doctor. But the spirit within me said, "Will you trust my angels and go home?" Now, you have a choice. I can either trust me or trust them. I wonder who can do the better work. So I purposed to just quietly back off after arguing, because I did argue with my head, because my emotions were involved, and I kept hearing the doctor's words. Did you ever have the decision inside your head like that? So long story short, I went home. It was probably around, I would say, 1 o'clock when I got home, because it was on a Friday night and I had worked till about maybe 10:30 at Grace. So, got in my car, got home, landed into bed and slept, and I believe it was around 5:45, I was wide awake and back to the ER. My father looked at me and he said, "I need prayer right now. It's been the worst night of my life." So I anointed him again and prayed in the spirit over his spirit for maybe 10-15 minutes, just releasing my heavenly language, and I could just see the change. He said, "The war in my head was so bad, so I really wanted to die, but I'm not supposed to yet." And so he lived another 18 months. But during those 18 months, we were not the same father and son. God had done a work, and he was so close to me. And later on, you guys remember Roby Moore. The following year, I brought a picture of my dad to Roby because I could tell Dad was not well. It was just, I could tell the sliding had already begun. His energy levels were not there. They weren't as good as what they were. But we had had a mighty year. And so I've got a picture of my dad, and I give it to Roby, and I said, "I want you to pray for this man." Roby had no clue, never seen my dad, so on and so forth. So he took the picture in his hands, and he says, "Oh, everything's going to be fine, Kim." I said, "Whoa! It's me you're talking to." I said, "What are you getting in your heart?" "Well," he said, "is this your dad?" And I said, "Yeah." He said these words, and I never forgot them. "Your father's going to do more for you on the other side than he was ever able to do on this side." Reflect what that says. The heavenly army is doing a work, and the heavenly church is on the job, and you're not here alone.
Amen.
And I bawled my eyes out all the way home because I knew he was going home. And I was selfish. Plain in English, okay? I was selfish. I wanted him to hold on. I wanted to hold on so bad. But my job wasn't done. Because the weeks ahead were more difficult and more difficult. And we kept him at home, just like you, dear. And on another Friday night, actually, about 1 week before he went home, I would stop every day, two or three times a day, whenever I could. And that night, evening, I should say, supper time, basically, knelt down next to him. He was sitting in his recliner. Familiar scene? Knelt down next to him and anointed him with oil. And I began to pray in the spirit. And of course, Dad and I communicated only in French. Okay? Well, God took me into the heavens and I saw paradise. And I began to sing in French what I was seeing. And then my emotions got the best of me and my father kept saying, I want more, I want to know more, I want to know more. And he pushed me to the point where my emotions literally exploded and I couldn't stop crying. And I said, Dad, all I can say is I love you and I don't want you to go. And he looked at me and he says, but what you've just described makes me actually ready to really release myself to go. So you say, oh, I don't need to pray in tongues. You don't? You're being robbed because of your head. If you don't pray in the Spirit and you don't communicate in the Spirit, you are robbing yourself of the revelations that are available to each and every one of you. And I'm talking to each and every one of you. There's no exception here. God sent His Holy Spirit to live in us. Not for Him to be dormant and dead. He is alive and well. That experience changed me. Because I was able to release myself to a higher degree because of my love flow for my Father. That's why it says, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. You want that connection? Get the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, my father's dead. He's not dead. He changed his address. John's not dead. He changed his address. Post office box. Paradise. It's not hard. You've lost somebody? They're on the other side. I'm not asking you to communicate with them, but I am saying that they are doing more for you than you realize. You have friends in the spirit that have gone over on the other side, and Mo and I have one special one. God knows. God knows. He's working diligently to change the earth from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. So, my dad did go home a week later. But, you see, when Dad went home, I had an awareness of where he was. Did I remember what I actually sang to my dad? No. It was blanked out. To this day, I don't remember it. But it was for him. It wasn't for me. There are times that God's going to do things through you and with you and in you that are not for you. They're going to be for the ones that He's ministering to and using you to bless them. So if you've got a few selfish bones, suggestion, put them on the altar. Let them burn away. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Oh, I know, that was a little rough. Oh, I know, that was a little rough. Oh, I know.